The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 770-563-3. Melissa has been holding here for a little while. Melissa, you wanted to weigh in about the Trump verdict and also maybe the idea of flying the flag upside down as a symbol of the nation in distress. What do you think about that? Go ahead.
Well, thanks for letting me talk a bit, Bill. I am a Congressional District 2 delegate. So I get to go to the convention. And I'm also a registered investment advisor. And I had, gosh, back-to-back almost, clients walk in and say things like, we're headed for a civil war. And it was pretty distressing. And I started thinking about it a little bit more. Unlike maybe just hanging our flag upside down, I almost feel like if they throw him in prison or in jail, we need to take a bigger stand and all of us just stop paying our taxes. I think if enough people did that, then, you know, change their W-4 and we all just not pay them. You know, maybe that would send a bigger message than something merely than just not, you know, hanging our flag upside down and taking up arms. I mean,
in other words, you're talking about financially withdrawing consent, so to speak, right?
Oh yeah, I think that if there was, you know, if we could get at least 25% of the country just to, you know, change our W-4s and, you know, self-employed people not send in their quarterlies, I think it would make a bigger, much bigger impact than just hanging our flags upside down. And you know, none of us want to, you know, go to war with our neighbor. But, you know, if they're going to steal the election again, I don't know what choice we would have.
Yeah, so is the, you know, is the choice, you know, I wonder, does that America exist? And when I bring this up here, so much of America right now is bought off by federal transfer payments. Would you agree with me on that right now? And I would even say the fact that if we're on Social Security, you know, you get Social Security benefits and you're depending on that in order to, you know, pay the bills or something like that. Are you really open to that kind of protest or that kind of action? What say you?
Freedom comes with a cost.
Oh, I agree. So I agree.
What are we going to, I mean, what else are we going to do? Are we going to go, you know, fight with our neighbor? Are we going to, you know, what else, what other kind of stand can we take other than to hit them in the pocketbook?
Yeah, hit him with the money. Yeah, it always starts with the money. All right. Melissa, I really appreciate the call. Thanks for making that, too. It's 10 after 7.
And Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is growing. Drake's is excited to announce a new store opening soon in South Medford that will offer the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer in North Medford, Grants Pass, and soon to be open in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
Two Dogs Fabricating are fabulous at fabricating what you need to get the job done this summer. For example, if you're in the fire suppression business, the dogs custom build aluminum top mount forestry racks for vans to carry firefighting gear. And if your RV or camp trailer needs any hitch or tongue repair for the upcoming camping season, Two Dogs can fix those puppies. They also build custom diamond plate battery boxes for extra protection and style. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Visit twodogsfab.com.
American Industrial Door has security and storm shutters and mesh for commercial and residential applications. These shutters protect storefronts, windows, retail counters, product cases, whatever needs instant protection against burglary, vandalism, and severe weather. With a touch of a button, you can secure an entry point or space with style and color. American Industrial Door has affordable scissor gates too. See all the security shutter options at American Industrial Door on Union Avenue in Grants Pass and on Crater Lake Avenue north of Violets Road.
The term for people who are both hungry and angry is hangry. Well, Garrison Sleep has coined a new word for that annoying, irritable feeling from spending another sleepless night on a crappy mattress. It's called slangry. And the only known treatment is a new mattress from Garrison Sleep. Our team has the tools and the talent to map and match you with the mattress of your dreams. At Garrison Sleep, we specialize in slanger management. And mattresses, too. Garrisons.com. We got your back. literally.
KMED and KCMD Morning Weather, sponsored by Advanced Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions and award-winning service. Visit myadvancedair.com.
I'm meteorologist Bobby J for NBC5. Nice, cool start for this Friday morning. Sunshine and heat this afternoon. High topping off around 88 degrees. We'll drop to 53 tonight with some increasing clouds this weekend and cooling off. 80 on Saturday, 76 Sunday, and a chance for some showers early Monday.
57 degrees, just gorgeous, 13 minutes after 7. By the way, we had mentioned Robert De Niro, right? What De Niro did in front of the Trump trial, you know, a few days ago about this. A little side note about this. The National Association of Broadcasters, this reported in one of my trade magazines, Radio World, radioworld.com. Robert De Niro will not be receiving the Service to America Leadership Award from the National Association of Broadcasters Leadership Foundation. After all, they were going to give it to him. But after his recent high-profile activities, this according to NAB spokesperson Alex Ciliano in a statement, the award's been taken away from Robert De Niro, so no service award for him. And Alex adding here, while we strongly support the right of every American to exercise free speech and participate in civic engagement, it is clear that Mr. De Niro's recent high-profile activities will create a distraction from the philanthropic work that we are hoping to recognize. In other words, De Niro was unhinged, okay? 14 minutes after 7, Gino's here. Hey, Gino, what's on your mind today? You want to talk about the difference between liberty and freedom? I know that.
Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Most people don't understand that liberty and freedom are not synonyms. So I'm looking here at my Black's Law Dictionary, and freedom is unrestrained activity without regard to another.
That's not really what we want, though, is it?
We have that in our thinking and in our prayer life. In the world, we have liberty. The word is rooted, in the Latin libra, which is the balance scales. So my freedom in respect and with regard to your freedom is true exercise of liberty. And quite frankly, Bill, it's too much responsibility for most people because, as Thomas Jefferson said it, those who have grown up under tyranny, as soon as they're let free, will move exclusively to a license, not responsible liberty.
And that's the difference. That's why I'm saying that what we said before, and I think the founders even mentioned this, is that liberty is really for a moral, responsible people, and that the less moral and responsible the people end up being, the more you end up having the growth of a tyrannical government to keep a lid on things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the premise of the collectivist, by the way, they're not leftists, they're collectivists, responsible individually. Responsible individuality is the exact opposite of the, shall we say, collectivist groupthink. Mm-hmm. And so responsible personal liberty is too much responsibility for most people.
All right. Good schooling on that one, Gino. Thank you so much. It's 16 after 7. Mr. Outdoor standing by. We'll talk about something besides just raw politics, but a little bit we'll probably sneak into. We can't help it. You know, it's the day after the verdict, right?
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Saving big. I can dig on just the things I need.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley truckloads of money over the years on things you buy and use often. All Beauty Mark salon certificates are half off. Also, save big on Diner 62, Malello's Coffee, and Freddy's Diner. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on OregonEDeals.com. I'm saving big.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
But gee, what if you didn't want to pay your taxes? I, something tells me that, you got to stay from that. Stay away from that if you're an enrolled agent, right? You can't do that. 18 minutes after 7, let's talk with Mr. Outdoors. Hitting the road, the highway star, heading to the fishing hole. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. On Airway Drive in Medford, by the way, is the sponsor of the Outdoor Report every Friday morning. Mr. Outdoors, of course, Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com. Greg, what's happening this weekend besides free fishing weekend, right?
Besides free fishing weekend, well, I guess pretty much the heat that we're going to be seeing today. And I'm looking at already what's coming next week. And next week, what we're going to be seeing today will look pretty, I don't know, not nearly as hot as it's going to be next week, because a week from today, actually Thursday next week, a week from today, we're probably going to be making a run up around 100.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
Yeah, there is a very serious heat wave coming up. There's going to be a high pressure get in position on the Four Corners, general Four Corners region, that it's going to turn into a conveyor of pushing a lot of heat up into our area. While we don't see it yet, I mean, we're talking about showers on Monday, and that's a system actually dropping down from the north. But when we do get this high set up in the Four Corners and it starts bringing that hotter air up over us, eventually what usually happens with that thing in that position will be some tropical to subtropical moisture getting entrained in it and pushing up over us, which will definitely give us a real good chance of thunderstorms. I don't see any specifics as far as a date yet when that might happen. But I just know that because that thing is going to be in place for at least, I'm going to say, a week, the way it stands right now, at some point we're going to get a chance for thunderstorms coming in at us as well. So very definitely a classic summer-type pattern. And, of course, tomorrow is the start of meteorological summer. So just kind of figures we're making that transition into true summer, and that's also something that as you get later in spring around here, we do start seeing more of. In spring and fall, there are seasons of transitions, and you know, we're just hitting that particular transition of spring where summer will start making its presence known.
What is the earliest day that you know of? I don't even know if you know this, but what is about the earliest day of the year that we've hit 100? In Southwest Oregon,
actually,
you know?
Actually, right off the top of my head, I want to say it's this one, May 30th.
Oh, okay. So it has happened. It's
officially
nothing.
I will say officially at the airport. Unofficially, when I was living in East Medford and had a thermometer set up, we had some days where the airport was stating they were, 96, 97, and where we were at in East Medford, kind of near Rogue Regional Medical Center, we had 100, and I had a properly sighted thermometer, meaning it was not subject to any artificial elevation.
Yeah, let me, in fact, I've always wondered about
concrete or asphalt.
All right, I've always wondered about that. Yeah, how do you properly sight a thermometer? Because I have a thermometer, in the backyard that, generally speaking, reads relatively cool. It's always in the shade. Now, you want it in the shade, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you can't put it in a proper Stevenson's box, and that's the name for those little boxy looking structures that will contain temperature, all your weather gauges, and they'll be sighted usually on the north side of a building, which is, typically where you're going to be cooler.
And you want to put it on soil.
Sunlight.
You want to put it preferably on soil, I would imagine, rather than concrete, right?
On soil, being over grass, being preferable.
Got it.
Because
okay.
You don't want any kind of real artificial inflation in what you're getting for a temperature reading. And also, therefore, getting your humidity not accurate as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I wonder how they
don't have a Stevenson's box properly sited above grass on the northern side of your building, then, yeah, something in the shade without direct exposure to the sun and or concrete and asphalt is going to be preferable.
All right. Well, I know that Alan Journay from SoCan probably has his thermometer inside a shed. It's an uninsulated shed. Just kidding, Alan.
Know, and everybody will look at it. It used to be all the rage. It's becoming fewer and fewer where you can drive by and see some sort of signage proclaiming what the temperature is, and those are invariably inaccurate because they're pretty typically going to be sited someplace where they have way too much exposure to concrete and or asphalt.
I know that there was the old Chase Bank on Crater Lake Avenue. Yeah. They would always have that that temperature sign, and it's always about 4 or 5 degrees hotter than it really was. I remember that.
Yeah, and actually in the summer they can be 10 degrees too high.
Yeah, yeah. So got to have the Stevenson's box. Got to go tell them.
Yeah, and I don't put a lot of faith in the thermometers in the car. The new car that I have now, well, at least new to us, it has a thermometer in it, and it is consistently running about 5 degrees warmer, hotter than the actual air temp is.
Yeah. On my car, on the Chrysler, there's a little sensor in the front grill, which is in front of the radiator. And, of course, naturally, it's going to receive some radiated heat from the engine, too. Yeah. And I know that it's also, I think it's also a sensor for the air intake, you know, to tell the fuel injection, whatever, you know, it has to do. But, yeah, temperature is all, boy, you can always have arguments about it. Oh, it's 90 in my house, so it's 82 in my house. Yeah, it's kind of funny that way. As far as the free fishing weekend, though, and where does the free fishing weekend apply? Is it everywhere in Oregon? There are some places that...
It's everywhere, and this year there was only three of them, and this is going to be the second one. The final one is going to be what has, I guess, turned out to be a pretty popular one there Friday and Saturday right after Thanksgiving. But this one this weekend, this is the traditional one. This is the one that was the only free fishing weekend for quite a few years. And, of course, with the state, they eventually expanded it to include camping at Oregon State parks like Valley of the Rogue if, you know, campsites were available. By the way, reminder again, Joseph Stewart State Park, well, it used to be Joseph Stewart State Park. It is now Joseph Stewart County Park.
Oh.
So there is no free camping there, even if there were spaces available, because it's a county. But if it's a state...
I forgot that got taken over.
It still is.
Yeah, I forgot that got taken over. It's pretty interesting then. And didn't the... aren't there homeless in one of these, in some of the state parks too, or is that not happening? Do we know?
Actually, no. I don't think that's happening, and the presence of park rangers is pretty successful at keeping it from happening.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. 25 minutes after 7, Greg Roberts from RogueWeather.com. If you were going to use your free fishing skills, where would you most go this weekend, Rick? Greg, pardon me. Had Rick on my mind.
Yeah, I honestly, ODF&W has stocked pretty much everything they can stock here in Jackson and Josephine counties over the course of the last 2 weeks because we have Memorial Day and, of course, with free fishing weekend coming up. So they wanted to give people really good opportunities to catch fish. So that being said, they've stocked up everything they possibly can. They also, most all of the bodies of water I'm aware of are 100% except the usuals, the Talon Irrigation Reservoirs of Howard Perry, Hyatt, and Immigrant. And even there, they actually do have good water levels in them compared to what we had seen, you know, just a few years ago. So I really can't think of any place where it wouldn't be worth going out to go fishing. And free fishing weekend, we'll say it again, what that means is you do not have to have a license, you do not have to have tags, but what you must do is obey all other aspects of fishing rules and regulations in Oregon, meaning bag limits, size limitations, all of that. All of that still applies.
All right, and you can't use California condors or spotted owls as bait, right? You can't do that.
Right. You just don't have to have the license or the tag. And, you know, that's part of what has made these weekends so very popular for people.
Very good. All right. Well, Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford, sponsor of the Outdoor Report. Of course, Greg Roberts, keep a hold of him over on RogueWeather.com. What's the best way to get all your latest forecast? Is it the website or do you need to go to the Facebook? How do you do this? What do you suggest?
You use a combination of our social media, because, of course, Facebook and MeWe. We do have the website. The other thing that will begin tonight at midnight, in addition to it becoming first day of meteorological summer, it will be fire season 2024 in Jackson and Josephine counties. Of course, we're going to be opening with low fire danger, and really about the only restriction of impact that's going to be coming in, that will be the end of backyard burning. Burn barrels, burning debris piles, that kind of stuff will come to an end. But just about everything else, that as we get deeper into the season, as we hit moderate, high, or even potentially extreme fire danger, the other regulations that come along with those increasing levels of fire danger, we're not getting to those yet, but we are drying out really rapidly. And we did have a vegetation fire on Upton Road yesterday in Central Point that it actually took off pretty good, but once they got units on scene, they also were able to bring it under control pretty quickly.
Yeah, Joe County had a big grass fire the other day too, and it, you know, out there, was it Cave Junction? I forget, Selma.
Yeah,
anyway.
Cave Junction.
Yeah.
You know, it's indicative, and it's pretty typical of what happens, but the level of fire activity we're beginning to see right now, just a couple of years ago, we were seeing that level of activity happening in April. So the fact that it's just now developing now is pretty indicative of just how wet we have been so far in 2024.
Now, at what point, I was going to take my electric string trimmer, and go up at some radio sites and knock down some of the vegetation. At what point aren't you allowed to do that? You know, in which
when we get up into high fire danger.
High fire danger.
That's essentially going to be the end of that. Because when we ramp up to moderate, it's going to be restricted to where you cannot do that in the afternoons and the evenings. But when we hit high fire danger, yeah, that pretty much takes that out.
All right, so next week I can go up there with the string trimmer and have at it. All right, hey, good to know. All right, Greg, we'll talk to you next Friday. Be well, and thanks again as always.
You got it, Bill.
7:30, KMED.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is celebrating its 20-year anniversary as the Rogue Valley's car, truck, Jeep, and SUV accessory upfit headquarters. Specializing in spray-on bedliners, vehicle undercoating, tonneau covers, and the largest selection of fiberglass, commercial, and metal canopies in the area. Running boards, Nerf bars, bumpers, winches, and LED lighting are also on the menu, along with hitches, decked drawer systems, and bed slides too. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and get your vehicle ready for your next adventure.
If you don't plan on cooking tonight, plan on dining at Freddy's Diner. Friday and Saturday nights, Freddy's features their hickory smoked prime rib. Plus, there's everyday favorites like New York steak, smoked beef brisket, Carolina chicken, pressure fried chicken, hand-dipped beer battered salmon or cod, and more. The menu is designed to please everyone in the family. Easy takeout, too. And stick around on Friday nights for karaoke at 9 p.m. Freddy's is a great place to meet friends or make some. Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point.
We spend a lot of time at work. Shouldn't you feel like you're cared for while you're there? At Kelly's Automotive Service, our staff voted us one of the top 100 businesses to work for in Oregon, and we're in need of experienced technicians at both our Grants Pass and Medford locations. If you're ready to be part of something bigger, check us out at kellysautomotive.com or come in and drop off your resume and talk to our staff yourself. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, take care of you, and are a great place to work.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa to enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Meyer and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking Alexa to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance, Father and Son Jewelry, Hardcastle's Trailers, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Although he has been convicted of all felony counts in his New York criminal trial, former President Trump says the ultimate verdict has yet to be rendered. In his words, the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. We'll be hearing from Mr. Trump within the hour. He's planning a news conference at Trump Tower in New York. The Biden team says no one is above the law. But Mr. Trump is denouncing what he says was a sham of a trial presided over by a partisan judge and prosecution in one of the most Democrat-friendly parts of the country. Minneapolis police say an officer has been killed in what was an ambush while tending to a man who turned around and shot him. Alabama has put to death a man who was convicted of killing an elderly couple in their home back in 2004. Watching Wall Street, the Dow is up 42 points, the Nasdaq down 129, and the S&P is off 16. More details at srnnews.com.
Nestle Financial Group is not a law firm.
Everyone knows the old saying, nothing lasts forever. Well, whoever said that obviously never bought a timeshare. Not only do your maintenance fees and assessment fees go on forever, they go up forever. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. Over 10 years ago, I was a timeshare salesman. But once I saw the dark side of the business, I quit. I started helping folks get out of their timeshares. Since then, we've helped over 30,000 families by getting them out of bad timeshares. If your timeshare agreement goes on forever, if you were told timeshares are a great investment, or your maintenance fees will never go up, you have questions, we have the answers. Give us a call. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-213-5757. 800-213-5757. 800-213-5757.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, Jason with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros with more spring savings. Through May, receive a $110 Visa prepaid card with the purchase of four Continental Extreme Contact Sport O2 tires. Extreme Contact Sport O2 is a dynamic summer ultra high performance tire for passenger cars. Ideal for both street and track, and when you purchase using your Tire Pros or Continental credit card, you get another $90. That's up to a $200 total. Call or stop by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros for details.
Who'll Stop the Rain is a classic 1970 hit from Creedence Clearwater that reached number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Pop Singles chart. While Millett Construction doesn't know the answer to John Fogerty's question, they do know how to fix your home's foundation if moisture is making it unstable. So don't worry about clouds of mystery pouring confusion on the ground. Millett will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com for a free consultation.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
Shady Cove Mayor John Ball standing by. We'll get with him in just a moment. I wanted to get a quick email of the day, and an email of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. While you wait, crowns are available. And by the way, if you need a water pick or some other thing to take care of your teeth, they have like a little display inside there, a little kiosk in which they will sell you all the specialized mouthwashes and water picks and everything else that you need at cost. No markup whatsoever. They want to make sure you keep it all healthy, okay? CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Jasper's Cafe in Texas. You know, John from Jasper's wrote me this morning. And he says, Bill, in 2010, we opened a Jasper's in Jacksonville. On opening day, we flew the pine tree flag with the words, an appeal to heaven. On it. Okay, an appeal to heaven was on it, rather. Within an hour, Jacksonville city officials showed up demanding that we take down that flag, stating that only historical American flags could be flown. Of course, we left for days after schooling the historical committee. The flag eventually flew. John at Jasper's in Texas. John, just kind of curious, are you going to fly any flag upside down as a symbol of the, you know, distress going through the United States right now? Might be worthy of discussion, okay? Appreciate you checking in, John. Hope Janet's doing well, too. It's 7:37. John Ball joins me right now, Mayor of Shady Cove, rather. Welcome. How you doing, John? Welcome back.
Good, Bill. Thanks. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. So you ended up writing me last night, and I guess you're concerned that I have a thumb on the scale of the jet boats on the Upper Rogue, okay, or the jet boats on the Rogue River in general. And I will confess that my dog in the fight is, well, if we're going to talk about tourism, that's certainly part of it. But tell us about the meeting yesterday with the Oregon Kitchen Table. Okay.
Okay, thanks. Yes, for sure. First of all, the email kind of was spawned by the situation of let's lock out everyone. And that couldn't be further from the hopes of this community, you know. The meeting went really well. I didn't know what to expect. I was approached by Oregon's Kitchen Table probably 4 months ago. When first, even last year, I started conversations with the governor's, Governor Kotek, the liaison for our area for the regional solutions. And it came to the point of where we have an issue here. How big of an issue? To some, it's huge. To others, it's just something we should look at, you know. And that's where these four agencies came into play. And they said, we got to get these four agencies together. And I think through a lot of different people putting some pressure on different individuals or different agencies, the state decided, you know, let's have Oregon Kitchen Table kind of do roundtables. And I love the name because it's just they try to make it that situation where you're sitting at the kitchen table and you just start talking.
You know, Oregon Solutions, though, is part of that whole statewide consensus process that leads to all sorts of bad things under the guise of getting stakeholders together. You even talked about it, Regional Solutions group, you know?
Trust me, Bill. I probably had a half dozen or more phone calls with the representative from Oregon Kitchen Table stating that I did not want to get involved unless this was going to happen, unless the agencies were at the meeting. They could be addressed. They could be talked to. Because so many times we ask our residents up here or even throughout the whole state to come and get involved and give us your input, and they walk away from it like they didn't listen for Jack. You know, you have somebody filtering it, writing a summary, and passing it on to the agencies. And I just said, I'm not going to be a part of that. I want agencies here to hear what people have to say.
Why wouldn't agencies show up for an actual public hearing with testimony, with government's testimony, testifying? This is the problem with this consensus process, though. The agencies show up, but so what? It doesn't really mean anything.
You're right. It's definitely, but what else do you do? You have to go through the process with them. Or you have no say at all. So there was a great turnout last night. They expected 20 to 25. I think they wanted to do food. I said, don't worry about food. People are either going to come or not come.
Yeah.
So I let them in and got them started on the setup. I said, you're doing it, not me. You know, it's my favorite type of meeting. I didn't have to talk at all. I just got to sit and listen. Mm-hmm. So I left at 5 o'clock. They were setting up. I'd given 50 chairs and 10 tables. I came home, grabbed my wife. We went back. I got there about 5 to 6. There was no parking. Probably 150 people in the gymnasium plus overflow. I was stunned. We just don't normally get that turnout up here. It was a great turnout. People are passionate about this subject, and I don't think it's a gangrene thing.
You don't? Okay. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that people would even comment on my show blog yesterday. They would say things like that. The jet boats are destroying the Rogue. And so I'm going to ask you, John, as mayor of Shady Cove, if the jet boats are destroying the Rogue River, where are the lawsuits? Where are the green attorneys that are saying, hey, we're looking at everything being destroyed? What is the destruction going on? And I don't know. How many times do those boats go up and down the river? What's the schedule? It doesn't go on all year. What is the complaint here of what's going on, in your view?
So the complaint is really twofold. And from the Shady Cove, the aspect of our residents and our community, from what I've been able to gain and talk about, is the mini jet boats up here on this section. And that eliminate, you know, the thing in Twoville is its own beast, the Rogue jet boats. That really isn't an issue for us as a city because it's not inside our city. Though we would like to see certain preservation of the Rogue and in its entirety.
But preservation from what is what I'm trying to find out, because the Rogue, it's a waterway, well, it's a highway, it's all sorts of things. You know, it's preserve it from what?
Yeah. But literally from ourselves. You know, I mean, we've done enough damage. Do we need to do any more?
Okay, what damage? What damage? What's the damage?
What we can't, until we do studies, we'll never know.
Okay, but you see, everyone's coming from the assumption we're destroying the Rogue River. Where is the evidence of that? Is what I'm trying to find out. That's I'm just asking for evidence, John.
Oh, evidence for us up here is safety in the for the businesses that run out of our city of rafting, guides, fishing services, and the quality of life for residences. It wasn't our decision. The state sold the property all the way to the river. So we have over 200 homes right on the river.
Right. And but you see, they're right on the river, but they don't own the river.
Correct.
It would be like me complaining about Delta, having my house near Delta Waters, which can be very noisy. And boy, I'll tell you, I got to do something about it and stop them.
What I think everybody's looking at, though, is there has never been jet boats up here until the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I've talked to multiple guides. Last night, a gentleman at our table really, really said something that was hit the nail right on the head. He said there was never jet boats. He's born and raised in Shady Cove as a guide. There have never been jet boats above Gold Ray Dam. Never. And it wasn't ever a law. It was respect. There was an unwritten rule that the upper Rogue was non-motorized, drift, raft, bank, angling, fishing.
But you yourself said unwritten rule.
Exactly.
Which means that
there was respect.
Yeah.
There was a certain respect that honored that. And all we're asking for is for these agencies to get together. And if it needs to become a rule, then it should become a rule. Now, where that starts and where that stops, that's up to the agencies. But yes, that is exactly. And is it done with a ban? I doubt it. There was a great question at Kitchen Table asked last night. They gave us a 3-part quiz to each table. Do you want to ban them with an explanation of what banning would mean?
Oh, no. You are part of a Delphi meeting type thing, the different tables? Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes. It was like high school.
Oh,
everybody
no.
wanted to get up. Everybody wants to get up and leave. It's like,
you're taking part in the fraud, John. With all due respect, buddy, love you. But you're taking part in that same kind of consensus process instead of actually having public hearings with testimony, real public input, and you're gathering.
They won't have them.
And what?
They won't have them. Neither will your county commission that you just backed. They won't have them either.
Why not?
Because they don't want the truth. They don't want people coming and giving them the truth.
Okay, I will. In fact, speaking of the county, I'm going to share.
Exactly the same.
Okay, I'm going to share with you what a county commissioner had to say about last night's meeting. She was there. This is Colleen Roberts. And she said,
correct.
"What a fiasco! First of all, Oregon Kitchen Table was unprepared. No microphone system in a gymnasium with lousy acoustics." Many could not hear and left the meeting. Those who stayed were allowed to speak their vision. Those who spoke to ban jet boats were encouraged and allowed to be applauded and cheered. So conversely, the few who spoke to support jet boats were, of course, equally booed. I don't know what the state of Oregon paid for this process, but they should ask for their money back. A few there, professionals in public safety in attendance, John, offered information about the safety of the technology of the jet boats to address the safety concerns. And another questioned the group for the data to base their safety concern issues that they raised. Both were basically dismissed. There was no interest. This is what Commissioner Roberts said here, John. There was no interest in any factual information or data by those in attendance, nor Oregon Kitchen Table. And Colleen continues, if there is environmental damage, where are the lawsuits? Nope. They're pristine. This is her opinion, I'm sure. Their pristine and tranquil environment wish is their only personal stand that they have. They live on property on a waterway. And she said, I live on property by I-5, and I'm bothered by the noise of the freeway. I'd like a quieter home environment, too. But anyway, if you want to, and she adds here, I'll let you respond to this. If you wanted a supportive group of a wild and scenic dam removal for the fish crowd for the Upper Rogue River, it was there in force. Yes, even the dam removal was mentioned for the fish. And this is kind of going down what I was concerned about, that this consensus process is incrementalism to ultimately lock it all up. And I know you disagree with me on this, but they even talk about it.
I disagree with Colleen Roberts on nothing was the, what was mentioned about the dam is that dam will never be removed because this city wouldn't even exist right now. It would have been washed out in 2019 and heavily damaged again this year in February.
Yeah.
That dam never going anywhere.
I wouldn't take that because, you know, Shady Cove would just have a duty to move for the fish, of course. All right, John?
I've seen it, it happen in Klamath. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the Klamath Dam. You never say never.
Okay.
But it's that dam and the aspect of it. That dam was built in 1977, finished in 1977. As late as the late 1980s and 88, I think we had over 90,000 salmon return. In 1994, we had over 60,000 salmon return. So that's, 11 generations, 15 generations of salmon coming back up after the dam. That dam did not kill the salmon run. Jet boats aren't killing the salmon run. People are killing the salmon run. We're asking for some...
Okay. How are people killing the salmon run?
Well, you name it. I mean, overfishing in the ocean.
Okay, but you see, that has nothing to do with a jet boat up by on the Upper Rogue, though. That's all I'm getting at.
I understand. But it's like, why do we add one more thing, Bill? Why are we going to add one more thing? They've never been up here. And it's, one trickles up every once in a while. Then it's two. Then it's four. Mm-hmm. Then they're cutting people off. Then they're spinning donuts and spraying people. Last year, I watched people throwing rocks at jet boats right in the cove as they went by. It's only a matter of time till that gets ugly.
Well, what that shows then is that you have some violent people in Shady Cove that are breaking the law.
Yep. And I think you're going to find that everywhere. I think we have that in every city, and Medford even more.
Huh. All right.
So I'm just, it doesn't surprise me at all. Our county screwed up when they allowed the first permit to go into place. And this is me personally speaking, for the jet boats at Tuville, and they're going to save face no matter what they do. And the commissioners, it's exactly, they won't hold public hearings on anything. So I would not expect them to think.
I'll tell you, I'm going to ask them about that. All right, I'm going to ask them about that. In fact, I'll probably ask Commissioner Roberts about this. Is this true? You won't hold an actual hearing on it because she complained about this process and called out this fraudulent consensus process that you, unfortunately, right, as mayor, ended up bringing in with the Oregon Kitchen Table folks. And I know we'll disagree on this, but even you yourself said, well, we won't have hearings here, but then if you have this, it won't have any effect either. What, are you just blowing off steam, or do you want to just actually try to affect some policy here?
We want to affect some policy, but it for small little cities like ours and people in rural areas, you take what you get, period. Hmm. I mean, and if you don't, you get nothing at all.
John Ball is the mayor of the city of Shady Cove here. KMED, KCMD, let's grab a couple of calls here, see if people want to talk to you about that, John, okay? And we're live with Annette, and hi, you're on with Mayor John Ball. Who's this? Good morning. Hello? Okay, you got to listen to the phone, not the radio, folks. Let me go to line two. Hi, you're on with John Ball. Who's this? Okay, I'm not sure what's going on there, John. Maybe they were calling for different purposes. That could be.
Yeah.
All right.
They probably want to talk the verdict and stuff. So.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. That could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when you have a guest, you got to talk about what the guest is talking about at this point. All right. John, okay, what do you think is going to come from this then? What is the purpose of having had this meeting if you think that Jackson County is just going to give Shady Cove what it doesn't want good and hard, and that they won't hold a hearing, and that they won't, and they just want to save face on something like this, but yet you have this consensus process in which they're talking about locking it up and eventually removing the dam? You know, it's like, come on.
I don't think nobody was talking about removing the dam. That's one council. It's one of our commissioners who listened to a whole bunch of stuff and listened for exactly what she wanted to hear. The gentleman talking about the boat, the different motors and the different propellers, is a first aid. He runs our big, brand new jet boat up here. He's a professional driver.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And he might have that. The average person does not have those engines, does not have those propeller systems. Okay. It just, they don't exist out there.
So what do you want? What do you then, as Mayor Shady Cove, want done after this meeting and after people have been weighing in? What would you like to see done?
It's an actual public hearing to where people can step forward and have their voices heard.
Okay.
In a public hearing and get it on record, because the commission's going to do what the commission does. The state's going to do whatever the state wants to do. I mean, they've been pointing fingers at each other for years saying, no, it's their job.
Now, you sound like you're upset about the jet boats. Do you want them gone?
No. Just, there is a place and a time for everything. If you look at the lakes up here, like Lost Creek Lake, there are 5-mile-an-hour zones. There are no wake zones. There are areas on both ends of the lake that the speedboats are down at an idle to be able to even go through.
Okay.
That's all we're asking, is there's a time and a place for everything. There's, what, 96 miles of Rogue River? You can't leave maybe 15 or 20 of it for non-motorized, high-engine powerboats? Is that too much to ask? That we have one area that's non-motorized or motorized to up to 5 horsepower,
mm-hmm.
something very small for emergency purposes for the guides. A lot of the older guides use them just in case they get in trouble. They can always kick it up, get out of the way. But there's a time and a place. And we're just saying this is not the place. And it's always just been an unwritten rule, so to speak. And people have honored it. People have respected it. That's gone.
Yeah.
And with that, we're just asking for somebody to step in.
Boy, I'm just glad there wasn't an unwritten rule that you had to drive a horse in or ride a horse in Shady Cove instead of a car. And
yeah. You
were hoping that we would just respect that. I'm having fun with you, John, on that one a little bit.
No, I agree. I'm just hoping there isn't an unwritten rule. I have to get an electric vehicle at some point.
I know. But the unwritten rules aren't worth the paper that they're written on, or not written on, I suppose, right. In this particular case. All right. So,
correct.
And like I said, I'm not just wanting to trash this sort of situation. I do appreciate, since we've decided that we're not supposed to make anything, that we're supposed to do something about tourism. I don't necessarily want to I don't want to crush the businesses that would be on the Rogue River out of hand, too. Are you implying that there are problems with the Shady Cove businesses in conflict with the jet boat business? Is there any evidence of that going
on? The jet boat business itself doesn't run up here.
That's what I thought. That's what you said.
Their boats are way too big.
But jet boats cause problems in general with your Float the Rogues and your Tahitis and your kayaks and things, right?
And honestly, Bill, there's such a minimum number of them up until this point, but every year it just keeps increasing and increasing.
Hmm.
So when there's one or two a month that people can get out, sometimes they come up on days that people aren't on the river a lot or at times of the year. I don't know if it's a timing thing, if it's seasonal, that the answer and the solution is there, because it's a shared waterway. We all get that. Realistically, we all have to come to some happy medium, but at certain times, it's not safe for them to be on the river at all,
How would you define it, not a time to not be on the river at all for jet boats?
For up here?
Yes.
Up here, for the little ones, it would be during the summer months when our tourism and the rafting agencies are rolling constantly, and then it at certain flows when it's real high, it's still not great, but it is a mixed use. It's a shared use river, period. I mean, the state's just said that. They've told us that.
All right. John Ball is the mayor of the city of Shady Cove here. And we had someone just joined, and maybe they do have a question for you. We'll try one more time here. Hi, who's this? You're on with John Ball.
This is Ed Bell.
Oh, hi, Ed. Go ahead.
Yeah, the only problem that I have is the perception of the kitchen table being this wonderful thing. And the kitchen table exists basically to support the consensus process, which by definition is a predetermined outcome. And the reality is you're talking about public input. Well, I recall smoke and fire, all the different real problems that we've had. The county has had public input meetings. So my question is, how have you approached the county commission? You're criticizing the county commission, but yet where's that evidence that they won't have a public hearing? I want to see, you know, I'll go in and ask them to do it. The reality is, let's have a public hearing, but let's make it a public hearing. Let's not make it a predetermined outcome Delphi meeting thing that supports everything that you're trying to say. And, you know, the whole thing is incrementalism. You've said this earlier, Bill, and this is what he's not grasping with this process. One, you're saying the dams will never come out. Well, I can verify for you that there is a plan to attack that dam. It's been there. And they're trying to incrementally take steps to do that. This is just one of the steps. And you look at it and, you know, to resort to using a consensus process that is there to rewild everything, to make it a wild and scenic section of the river. All of the things, these are all things that we know have happened that they're doing. But the reality is, you know, tell kitchen table to take a hike and have a public meeting. Have a real, legitimate public input meeting.
I'm short on time here. Okay. I just want to make sure that Mayor Ball can respond to this. How, and let's just get that question answered. And thanks for the call, Ed. How did you, the mayor, approach the county commission about getting a public hearing, a real public hearing on this? What happened?
We've written letters to him asking him to do it, to what is our next steps? What do we need to do? And we don't get response. So, I mean, we don't really have an answer as to how do we get a public hearing in the works? Mm-hmm. How do we address it? That would be our first steps, is to just find out how can we bring this before you, other than emails that we've already sent.
All right. All right, I will be in touch with the county commission about this and see if we can put some heat or some love on this. All right, I appreciate you being good sport coming on Ed's right though about the incrementalism thing, and I think as mayor you ended up bringing, under the guise of doing a good thing, you brought the poisonous system into this argument. I would just be very careful about that. Okay.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate the input.
Thank you very much. John Ball, Mayor of Shady Cove. It is 8 o'clock.
30 and 40 degree swings? Welcome to spring in Southern Oregon. This is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. As soon as the weather hits the 80 degree and above mark, our phones start ringing off the hook and people can hardly wait a day to get in. Wouldn't it be better to take care of any air conditioning issues you have before the real heat hits? Schedule your appointment now and stay cool later. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you. Kelly'sAutomotive.com.
For over 50 years, Siskiyou Pump Service has provided fresh, clean water to Rogue Valley homes from pump to tap. And Siskiyou Pump Service is an exclusive Aqua Systems water filtration distributor. Siskiyou Pump offers a free water test for hardness, iron, pH, and conductivity. And if needed, you'll also get a free, no-obligation estimate on new Aqua System filtration and water softeners. There are also monthly incentives to purchase water treatment equipment. Call today for your free water test and no-obligation quote. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
Bicoastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is publishing in July. Thank you to all of our winners and advertisers who will appear in the coming edition. In the meantime, you can visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to flip through the current magazine and find all of Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Also, please email rvcontact@bicoastal.media if your business is interested in being a pickup location for the 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Appreciate you being here. 8 o'clock, well, a couple minutes after 8 o'clock, really. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass, Translator K294AS, Ashland. Gentleman on the phone right now was at the meeting. You've been on the river for, what, some 30 years. Give me your take overall. Go ahead.
Correct, yeah. Between Gold Ray Dam and Rattlesnake Rapids, which is a natural barrier for jet boats. So I was really curious on why the mayor up in Shady Cove got involved with this. And speaking with the high-density people that live on the upper river, they're complaining about jet skis and mini jet boats. And that part of the river from the hatchery down to Shady Cove is the most heavily used area of the upper river. And so I can see their complaints about these mini jet boats. And as far as jet skis are not allowed on the river above Gold Ray Dam. So when they say jet boats, there's a confusion. Because when they're talking about jet boats, they're not talking about jet boats like Rogue Jet Boat Adventures and my boats and everybody else that uses the river. They're talking about these little mini boats that are racing around up there.
Oh, the little mini jet ski things. Okay, I rode one of those over on Lost Creek Lake a few years ago. I don't do a lot of
that. They're not considered jet skis. They're little mini boats that they started proliferating up in the Shady Cove area. Nobody would take their boat above Rattlesnake Rapids because it would destroy their boat. It's so shallow up there. And nobody does this. And their main complaint of the locals that the meeting last night was mainly 99% were the homeowners that live along the river, and they're complaining about their tranquility is getting disrupted. As far as below Rattlesnake Rapids, there's a section about 3/4 mile of slow water, just fantastic houses down there, and they're complaining about the noise on the jet boats. The jet boats only run 4 months out of the year, and when they pass by them, it's like 5 miles an hour, and they slow down. The people that complain, they know them. They slow down and just idle through that area. And the jet boat things, they're not just racing around the river. They give a cultural, educational history of the Upper Rogue River. They stop in many places. They tell you where the Indian War was, where the Army trained, where the treaty was signed. And all these people, when I started saying about the jet boat business, I got booed and hissed. And these people have probably never, ever been on their tour. And I think for them, they need to go on a tour so they can see both sides of the story. I listen to CNN as well as Fox Radio. So, you got to hear both sides of the story.
All right. Hey, I appreciate your take on it, too. Thanks for sharing your experience, okay?